Hello and welcome to Variety Radio Online. Today we are recapping the most recent episode of our Black Sails recap show. Today I have my co-host Amy and returning by popular demand, our Captain Mako and Commodore Lizzie. Welcome, lady and gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi, I'm so happy you guys decided to join us again.
Lots of labor.
Definitely.
We had such a great time last week that we forgot that time ran away with us. But we got some very positive feedback from people. They loved hearing from you. And we think we're going to continue on with it. So hopefully we'll have some other visitors. I did speak to another pirate that you two know, and she may be joining us next week as well. She did a marathon binge to watch the show and catch up because she was so impressed with our discussion last week, so she wanted to get in on it. So it'll be a fun time. Say that again?
It'd be great to have her on.
Yes, yes, it will. So this episode, I don't know about you guys, but we were talking a little bit off air. I found that in comparison to last week's episode, this episode was a little slow for me. But there were some exciting parts. But for the most part, it was kind of, I guess, the calm after the storm, so to speak, in regards to a lot of the action. Most of it was political and conversational. And then, of course, there was a huge, I guess, not battle, but definitely a maneuver at the end of the episode. What did you guys think about it? What were some of the things that you found interesting about the episode? What were some of the things that you didn't like about the episode?
I guess I'll go first. I liked the pacing of them going back and forth between Flint and company being stuck in a cage there after getting caught by the Maroons. And then bouncing over to Nassau and what was going on in the fort, and then bouncing out to the ship with the governor and Eleanor, and then I kind of like the way it bounced around a bit. I did like the fight scene in the middle with Vane and Blackbeard. I thought that was really well choreographed and well done. And I really liked the fire show. That was pretty cool. Watching that go on. That was a tactic that's been used over many times in history, and it was kind of neat to actually watch it done there. Otherwise, it wasn't really anything I didn't like about the episode. I felt overall it was done well. It was a little slow, but like you said, I think it was more of a setup type of episode, I guess you'd call it.
Mm-hmm. Commodore?
I loved it. I just love everything about the shows. yeah, like Mako said, it was, and you said, it was a little slower. There's a lot of information in there. Fight scene was phenomenal, and love the fire pit. If I remember correctly, reading Blackbeard's history, he actually used that at one time in real life to get away from a pirate hunter. I just can't remember all of the information at the moment. So, very intriguing. It kind of sets you up for the next episode. So I'm hoping that there'll be a lot more information.
So it's funny that both of you guys mentioned that that tactic was used before, because that was going to be one of my first questions. It was interesting to see that, and it took me a little while to figure out what they were doing. It seems like Governor Wood Rogers figured out what was going to be happening a little bit before everybody else did. So I thought that that was also an interesting, I guess, plot device, that he would have immediately figured out what they were trying to do, and tried to warn them to, hey, you know, you need to pull up the anchors, you need to cut the lines right away, because we need to maneuver. And that delay, and interesting in seeing how that delay basically cost them, I don't know if it cost them their whole fleet, but it definitely cost them at least one of the ships. And also that they were firing too high to let them know. And it's interesting to see and realize that, okay, yeah, there's no cell phones here. There's no text messages. There's really no easy way to get across to a whole fleet, hey, you need to change your angle because you're firing too high. So that was interesting to see as well. And just that delay in having them cut the lines and try to start to maneuver basically cost them this little skirmish. But I really didn't know what was happening until I saw it happen. And then I was like, whoa, that is genius. So that's really cool. I really like that.
Yeah, I didn't really know what was going on at first with when they were sitting by the fire. It didn't really dawn on me that they were inside a ship when they were building that fire. And I didn't realize it was a fire ship until I saw them coming at the line. And all of a sudden, everybody jumped off and they opened the hatch. And I was like, oh, now I understand. That took me by surprise.
I was a little confused about the fire on the ship. And I was like, you know, I've never really seen them burning a fire on the ship, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, usually they don't burn fires on ships, you know.
Right.
You can burn the ship down.
Right. So yeah, that in and of itself was a little strange to me, but it didn't click until it was actually in motion what was happening. The other thing was, I didn't realize that Blackbeard had two ships, or did they sacrifice Vayne's ship?
I don't know what ship they used for the fire ship, but Blackbeard had several ships. He actually at one point had a whole fleet. So I have no idea which.
I think it was just a ship they pulled out of the harbor to use, because it was a smaller ship. I don't think it was Vayne's. Vayne actually didn't have a ship. Vayne had lost his ship at one point earlier on, and he ended up taking that Spanish warship, and which ended up becoming communal property between him, Rackham, and Flint. So I don't know what ship they used. I think it's just probably some ship they just decided to say, hey, guess whose ship we're going to burn now?
Some poor schmuck ship just got burned.
Probably somebody that turned on him.
It's right. Possible.
Well, yeah. They got enough gold, they can pay them for it, too. So.
True. Although I don't know how much Vayne actually got away with, because you know, he pretty much was leaving with what he had on his body. Let's talk about that fight scene, because, let's go back a little further than that. We see, again, the actual results of Hornigold's proposition. Most of the pirates, like you said, do take the pardon. Some of them are still going to go out and be pirates. And Jack just talked about that in this episode, talked about, you know, being free people with their pardon, and then just going and traveling and going to different areas. I kind of felt bad for Jack and Anne, because they really wanted to keep Vayne safe, but they knew the reality of the situation was that, look, the longer we wait, the harder it's going to be for him to get off of this island. And I loved also the fact that Jack was like, listen, I just busted my ass to rebuild this fort, and I'm going to be damned if the English are going to take it back whole. And he basically blows a hole in it so Vayne can get out.
That was one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, and he was right. You know, Vane was safer on Blackbeard's ship because nobody's going to mess with Blackbeard. And, you know, that was the best thing for him because all the other pirates on the island, was 10,000 pounds sterling. That's a lot of money back then. It's a lot of money now, but it's an incentive that for them to just slit his throat as soon as they find him, you know. And he wouldn't get any sleep. He'd be sleeping with one eye open constantly. So it was safer, like you said, for him to go on by the ship.
And that fight scene was pretty impressive. Unfortunately, you know, that realization that there is really no honor among thieves and that all of these people that you've known in the past are basically going to rat you out for money. But the fight scene, I agree, was very well choreographed. There was a point in time where I was like, oh, I actually said, oh, shit, at some point, right before Blackbeard showed up. And I'm like, now what is he going to do? He already discharged his pistol. And he's been disarmed. What is he going to do? Because they're now surrounding him. And I loved seeing something that I often see at the Ren Faire is multiple pistols on Blackbeard. Just having him just random, having them all ready to go and just literally pulling them out, shooting, you know, pulling the next one out, shooting. That was pretty awesome to see that in action.
Yeah, he was known to wear at least six at a time. And you had to. You didn't have time to reload. Once you fired it, it basically just becomes a very heavy stick. that was kind of neat to watch him do that. Pull it and shoot and pull it and shoot. That was kind of cool.
I would imagine that would have slowed him down a little bit because those guns are heavy. I don't know if anybody's had any I mean, I know you guys probably have had an opportunity to actually hold some of these, you know, these items, these guns. But
we own
you know,
some of those.
Yeah, I know you do. So they're pretty heavy. They're at least 2 to 5 pounds, yes?
Yeah, they're mostly wooden metal. They're not like modern firearms at all. They are heavier. In that kind of a situation, I don't think it would slow you down too much because the adrenaline is going to really compensate for that. And,
right.
And if it's something you're used to, you're not really going to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And Blackbeard is a very big guy, so carrying around that extra weight, you probably doesn't even notice it.
Right. It was funny, too, because I was watching that episode and I saw the baldric that he had on and all the guns stuffed into it. And I was like, that looks like something I would have made. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll keep that in mind.
He just got lucky all of his footlocks fired when he pulled the trigger. They were notoriously bad weapons.
Well, yeah, because if the powder got damp or if you didn't load the gun correctly, it could misfire, it could backfire.
Yeah, well, or it wouldn't go off either. You know, the flint could shatter and not create a spark. And there's so many things that go wrong with flint loss. It's not funny. So, you know, you didn't have a choice in a way that you really had to wear a lot if you wanted, you know, to make sure you got some shots off.
Right. Yeah, because it's not like modern-day weapons. They're not semi-automatic pistols. You can't just fire 6 to 9 shots, you know, and in one gun. Pretty much once you made that one shot, if it didn't hit, or if it didn't hit in a meaningful way, that just had a stick to bludgeon somebody with. I liked seeing the cutlasses. That more traditional looking cutlass in the fight scene. And I really liked that there was an actual reason. It wasn't like, I didn't feel this episode that Vane was pretty much giving, not that he was running with his tail between his legs, because he really wasn't. He really gave up a good fight. But there was a legitimate reason for him to leave the island, not just that Blackbeard wanted him to.
Right.
So I liked that there was a basically a plot device to get him off that island in a way that didn't just have him like giving up, because we all know that Zane would never have given up that island if
right.
he had a choice.
No.
What did you guys
think
that's
of- why, you know, what you just said about Vane not giving up the island, I think that's why Eleanor told the governor, you get rid of this guy and it'll be easier, because Vane's whole thing is, we are pirates, this is our island, England's not coming in, and he would do everything in his power to prevent it, obviously. But I think that's one of the reasons why he was on her list of people to not offer the pardon to.
And that's exactly where I was going with that, is that, you know, the longer I see these episodes play out, the more her reasoning for giving his name as the only name without the pardon was pretty self-evident. You know, originally we were talking about, well, you know, is she really that spiteful? Is she really just trying to screw him because he screwed her, because she screwed him, kind of thing? And really, I think it's more of a tactical approach that she knew that if she really was going to help Governor Rogers, she needed to give it her all and actually say, like, look, I know this guy, and I know that he's never going to give up this island without a significant fight and significant loss. And if you want to do this quickly, this is the best way for you to do it.
She was basically gambling on playing on the pirate nature of having all these people turn on him by offering such a large reward. She knew her people. She, you know, being that she, like, as Woods Rogers had said, she'd tamed the island once before. She knew what these people were like and what she would have to do to get them to turn on him.
Mm. Now, what did you think about the conversation between Rogers and Eleanor on the ship after they got word back from Hornigold? Hornigold says, we were able to, you know, procure or secure a large portion of the Orca gold. I mean, obviously less what Jack and Ian put aside and Max put aside. but they were actually able to secure that, and he came back to the ship. And basically Rogers said, look, what you did, why do you keep resisting being my counselor? Why are you afraid? What am I going to hear? And maybe I should hear it from you before I hear it from anybody else. But the important part about this situation is that you're not afraid to be seen as a fool, even when you know you're right. And she made the right call. She was the one that came up with that plan. She was smart enough to know her limitations and her effect on those pirates, and that she was not going to be welcomed well. And she knew politically that Hornigold had the best opportunity to be the most successful and offered to send him, because it was her idea. I don't know where he's going with that. I mean, half of me wants to think that he wants to, and I'm trying not to play this into like a romanticized thing, because I don't think that there's any romance between the two of them, but he seems like a type of person who recognizes smart people and uses people who would be advantageous to him. It seems like he really honestly does want her to be his counselor on the island. And I don't know if that would be in a way where he would have to basically marry her for her to get some respect, or if he would have to, I guess, have a mandate. I mean, basically she's a prisoner that he released. So I don't know how that would work.
That's a good question. I really think that he is using her because he's up against some serious deadlines, especially with Spain, and he needs somebody who really knows what's going on inside the island. I don't think he trusts Hornigold enough, because Hornigold was a pirate, even though he took the pardon and he's working for him now. I think he respects Eleanor more than he does Hornigold. And I really think that's the only reason why he's using her, is because she knows those people. Like he said, she tamed the island once before. And he thinks that with using her, he'll be able to do that himself. That's
right.
Yeah,
well, Eleanor was the key business person on that island. You know, she took over the business from her father. She knows all of these people. She knows their attitudes, their personalities, you know, what ticks them off, what gets them fired up. And, you know, he's using, Governor is using her as, you know, an asset. You know, I don't think there's anything romantic going on, but he knows that she's got all the intel. You know, and it's a lot quicker to use information she has and try and fail and try again, you know, especially with the tight deadline he has. So he's mm-hmm. just looking at her as an asset.
Yeah, and I realize that there's no romance between the two of them, but as a tactical, political thing, it may have to work out that way. Although I don't think that Eleanor, if it was offered to her, I don't think that she's that type of person who would be trapped like that.
No, I don't think so either.
But been very honest with her from the very beginning about the fact that he is absolutely using her. So I think that you know, there is that base of honesty there, that she knows that he's using her and she's using him, and he knows that too. And I think really her ultimate goal is, look, I don't want to be in prison, and I'm going to do what I need to do to not do that and come home again, because that's where I want to be. Flint's little adventure, the walrus's tale of them landing. Again, we thought they were, in our last conversation, we were talking about, you know, are these pirates? Have they landed on the other side of Nassau or one of the other islands, or is this actually in the Azores? I don't think we've got any more clue as to where they are. I think,
yeah, you do.
Mako,
you do? Yeah, you do. I think they're closer to Jamaica. There's a ton of small islands. I thought they were the Azores because the islands look like the Azores, but that's because the show's shot in South Africa. So
okay.
I think that's for the story. And I don't know how they would have done that coming out of the Sargasso Sea with the winds the way they are. But it's a movie, you know, it's a television show too. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. There's tons of little tiny islands all spread through there. And when Mr. Scott volunteers to go find the missing slaves, he finds them on the beach getting ready to leave, and he says, you know where to go. They're obviously going to, he's the king that they're talking
right.
about.
Now, did you know as soon as the chieftain's wife, did you know as soon as she mentioned, you know, talking to her daughter, your father knows these men and he's worked with these men and, you know, he might have something to say about, you know, whether or not they get killed. Did you know right then and there who it was, or did you figure it out when he offered to go get the slaves?
I had no idea until he went off to tell the slaves, you know where you are. It's like, that's who it is.
When he said, you know where you're going, that's when I figured, okay, there's some place in the Caribbean there, close to Jamaica, because there's no way they were going to make the Azores in those two longboats.
No.
Okay.
No, so it had to be someplace within that area, you know. And I was as soon as he's like, you know where you're going, it was like, wow, he's the king. And then he confirmed it by saying, and my wife will, you know, and like, oh, really? Okay, there's a plot twist I didn't see coming.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's interesting. It's an interesting characterization for Mr. Scott. And then, of course, he gets shot in the gut, which, you know, that's a very slow way to die. It's also very painful. So it's possible that they're going to take him with them, and then he's going to wind up going back to the island. I think that's probably likely, given the plot of what's happening with Flint's crew, is that he's going to have to show up. He'll survive enough to probably save some of them, maybe, or maybe not. Maybe he'll just say, no, go ahead and execute all of them, but then we wouldn't have Treasure Island. So we know that they're going to survive because this is a prequel to Treasure Island. We just don't know how many of them are going to survive.
Well,
so we know Flint, we know Billy Bones, and we know John Silver are definitely going to survive.
We
and
know
Ben Gunn shut up. Ben Gunn.
But right.
Ben Gunn, the character from Treasure Island, he was on the island for 3 years by himself looking for Flint's treasure without a map. He helps the kid when the kid shows up at the island.
Right.
When Silver's chasing him. Jim Hawkins, you know, it's when Jim Hawkins is being chased on the island, he runs into Ben Gunn, and Ben Gunn helps him. So the other thing with this episode is, do we have a new character that's going to stay with us now? Or is he going to spin off somewhere? Because he is in Treasure Island.
Right.
So, you know, are they gonna, it was an interesting episode with stuff like that.
Yeah,
but that also brings up another question with Flint's gold that he supposedly buries. If Rogers has all the Orca gold, what gold is Flint burying if it's not the Orca gold?
It's got to be another adventure once they get off that island. I'm sure that there's another ship. I mean, it's not like he's going to stop pirating once he gets off.
Back that gold.
Right.
Well,
so we only have about 10 more minutes left because this is a short this was a short broadcast. But I did want to say that I know it goes so fast because we have so much to talk about. One of the things that I wanted to mention was as I was watching this episode, when we realize now that the inhabitants of the island that the walrus lands on are not cannibals.
No.
Or it's yet
to
be seen that they are, but they're basically slaves that have survived slave ships and shipwrecks and, you know, and different slavers and have been basically put onto this island as a way to live a free life. And it wasn't clear to me until that opening shot where they're looking over the bay and you see that whole city, basically the tiki huts and all of that cityscape that's happening there. And it was funny because both Jamie and I both went, holy shit. Like, where did all of that come from? I expected it to be like, you know, caves and little huts and things like that, not to have that much population. So that was a really cool surprise to see that and be like, wow, that kind of looks like a Disney set, but it's awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of like the witness protection program for slaves, if you want to put it that way. Keep them safe and keep them from being resold and abused and, you know, or even killed for escaping. That's why they're trying to keep the island a secret.
Yeah. And I do like, though, that Flint is starting to, it seems like the more dreams that he has with, oh gosh, I forgot her name. The ghost, Miranda. The more dreams that he has with Miranda, he seems to be calming down a little bit mentally. He seems to be coming back to thinking politically, thinking strategically. And he knows, because John's all like, you know, Billy thinks that this is going to happen, and isn't this a better way to do this? And but is it realistic? And pretty much Flint says to him, look, everybody needs to face death their own way. And Billy's way is to have hope. And so don't take that away from him, because that's how he's going to survive this. You know, mine is to know that there's no way around death. And you need to find your thing that you're going to hold on to. but it's interesting to see that the more that he interacts with Miranda in his dreams or his waking dreams, the more he seems to kind of calm the hell down.
I think a lot of his calming down happened when he finally did grieve after, not the last episode, the episode before, when he goes back into his cabin after dealing with the guys that stole the food, and he just had a breakdown. So from that point on, I think he was able to accept and deal with Miranda's death and come to terms with things. So I think that was the starting point for him for getting his head together.
And that's kind of when he started hearing her again, too. Actually having that conversation where he's actually even able to allow that to happen. And I think he knows that that's not real, but it is.
The freaky screen, silent screen of the people.
No.
Yeah, but it's his way of holding on to her, too, not forgetting her, you know, and just they counseled each other, you know, when she was alive. They plotted, or not so much plotted, but planned on changing Nassau into a productive island rather than just, you know, chaotic mayhem. And
bringing order to the chaos.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
you know,
it's his way of, you know, still having her as a counselor. But.
Right. Yeah. There was one thing that he said to her, and I can't remember because they all run together, if it was this episode or last episode, when he's actually conversing with her and saying, you know, look, when I lost this person, I was devastated. And when I lost this person, I was really upset. But when I lost you, I was destroyed. I was ruined. You were my ruin. And I thought that was very sweet of him. You know, not sweet, but it was telling that she wasn't just, you know, she wasn't just a partner. She wasn't just a caretaker. She wasn't just a body. He really, truly loved her in his way. And it wasn't necessarily romantic. It wasn't necessarily strictly platonic, but it was just a mutual respect. And, you know, they kind of bounced things off of each other. He respected her intelligence. He respected, you know, her as a person. And it was very interesting to see him say that.
Well, her words actually in his vision was, I was mother.
Right.
You know, so you know that this is stuff coming out of his subconscious, not so much him actually communing with an actual spirit. So, you know, it's probably why he was so shattered. And that was actually last week's episode.
Right.
When he said, when I lost Thomas, I grieved. And, Thomas, her husband was the first one that he mentioned.
Right. And she did mention, you know, I was mother when you needed it. I was your lover when you needed it. I was your friend and I was your confidant. And, you know, I was your partner when you needed to bounce things off of. And so that's kind of his way of kind of working through that. This is, you know, this is all that you meant to me. And because of all of this, this is why it's affected me so much. And I just don't know how, you know, to get through this. And then, of course, her saying, well, I'm going to help you get through this, and then you need to leave me behind.
Right.
Yeah. So definitely some soul searching going on for Flint. I'm glad that he's starting to, you know, become himself again. What do you think is going to happen next episode? Obviously, Flint and Blackbeard are going to kind of get away. How devastating do you think that this ship fire is going to be? How likely is it that it would spread to another ship? Because we were seeing some of the spray of the cinders coming over onto Wood Rogers' ship.
Yeah, I think they're just going to lose the one ship. I think they pretty much had the fire on Wood Rogers' ship under control, because he wouldn't have. And he wouldn't have sent. Eleanor below decks if he thought they were going to lose the ship to a fire.
Right, and Blackbeard and Vane, they slipped through.
Yeah, they were just the pirate fleet got away. So I think they're just lose their. Woods is only going to lose that one military. I think it was a military ship that got hit. I think it was a man of war that got hit. I don't think it was one of the
merchant
ships. So I think they're probably only going to lose that one ship unless it explodes. I was waiting for the power to go up, but I don't think they're going to lose more than the one ship because Rogers in history, in real life, he does become governor twice, as a matter of fact. It was like a 4-year period in between where he got relieved of his governorship, but then he ended up getting reinstated again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think he took too big of a loss.
Right.
He's still going to be responsible for it because he ends up going bankrupt the first time he's governor, and that could have been one of the reasons why. Well, we know he lost the ship.
Right. Well, he has a lot of debtors and a lot of responsibilities that he needs to have deadlines for. So, yeah, I would imagine that would be a contributing factor if this is the way that they're going to play that. The other question that I had was, and we'll wrap this up pretty soon, what Vane's reaction when he saw Eleanor on the ship was kind of like, well, of course it's her. You know, of course she did that. So he's starting to understand why just him, and why was it just him? And Blackbeard figured it out also when he saw her. And also, one of the two of them pointed out, look, she's on there because she knows you can see. She wants to be seen. So she wants to know. So do you think her being on that ship was a warning to Vane? Like, see, don't go back to the island?
I'm sorry. I think Vane and Blackbeard think that, Eleanor did it out of spite, not as a strategic thing.
Okay.
Because of their troubled relationship towards the end before she got captured and everything that transpired between them. So she did it for strategic to get on the island. They're assuming she did it out of spite because she's pissed at him.
I don't think Vane is assuming that. I think Blackbeard is trying to make Vane think that because Blackbeard wants to drive a wedge between them, even bigger than it's already there.
Yeah, I think Vane thinks it's because of what happened before she left. That's my opinion. So.
And Fort, when she took the governor's of South Carolina. Ash's
daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pissed about that.
a little.
So we've actually almost run out of time. Amy, do you want to pipe in here and say anything?
Thank you for my history lesson today.
You're welcome.
I felt like I was actually listening to the show and not participating in the show, and that's exactly what I did. But I loved it. Like, I was just sitting back in the audience tonight. And, yeah, I loved every bit of it.
Excellent.
Okay, well, next week, you're going to ask some questions with Amy.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I'll write some down while I watch it. but thank you all for listening to us tonight. We will be back next week. We don't really have a set day, if you've noticed. So just make sure you follow us on Twitter. It is TheVRO. It's @TheVRO. Our website is TheVRO.com. We are on Instagram as Variety Radio Online, and you can find us on Facebook as Variety Radio Online. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.